Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik and Jessica Tai.
And a big welcome back to Jessica after a long weekend off. Welcome back. Hope you got to enjoy the fall a little bit.
Oh, it was lovely. We were up in Kohler for the Food and Wine Festival, and the colors there are just stunning. And Mother Nature, you know, it was supposed to be a little cool, a little chilly. It was going to rain. I like when the forecast is wrong for the better.
Yeah, no doubt. A great fall weekend. We are surging ahead into October 20th, just like that, inching up on Halloween. Some big stories that we're following today.
It's now at noon on Wisconsin's Midday News.
New at noon, Amazon says it's experiencing more connectivity issues affecting its cloud computing services unit. A huge outage this morning knocked out popular apps and websites around the world. A few hours later, the company said it had fixed the problem, but here we go again. Amazon called the problem an underlying issue, signaling to many industry analysts this was not a hack. Ripple effects are being felt from banks to airlines. CBS News tech contributor Aaron Scherer reports this stands to go down as just an inconvenience for most users, most of us, right? Maybe you couldn't get onto Facebook this morning. Maybe you couldn't use Snapchat. The kids couldn't. But here's what I find fascinating. How much of the internet this Amazon outage impacted? Scherer says one of the takeaways is when Amazon sneezes, most of cyberspace catches a cold or at least a few symptoms.
Even though the internet itself is designed to be decentralized, titans of industry like Amazon have become such key players that when they have trouble, practically the entire internet is affected.
According to Down Detector, the app that tracks problems like these, some of the sites that were impacted were, of course, Amazon, Facebook, Disney+, Lyft, McDonald's, Snapchat, United Airlines, Venmo, and Verizon. And Greg, that's just naming a few. I mean, there were a ton that were impacted. Also, some United and Delta customers even reported on social media that they couldn't find their reservations online, they couldn't check in, and they couldn't drop their bags off.
It's funny you mentioned this. So we just got an email 4 minutes ago here from our Good Karma Brands IT team saying that this Amazon Web Service issue this morning underwent a widespread service outage. It affected several of our tools here at work, including Jira, ChatGPT, Salesforce, and so on. And Amazon has stated that the issue has caused the outage. It's been resolved. Some services may still see some intermittent disruption. So affecting us here where we work and where thousands of other people
and
work.
Now we have to reply and say Amazon is now experiencing new issues.
Yeah.
More issues. That's
kind of what it is.
Hopefully that ends soon.
Number two, the Trump administration continues to target fishing vessels and other boats in the Caribbean. Deadly strikes. The administration claims all the boats targeted were attempting to smuggle drugs into the country. 32 people have died. More from ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce.
To justify using the U.S. military to kill suspected smugglers rather than arrest them, Trump has declared that the U.S. is in a formal armed conflict and the drug cartels are unlawful combatants. But the administration has provided few details and no evidence to back up their claims that the 32 alleged traffickers killed so far were attempting to smuggle drugs. Questions about the legality of these strikes now raising serious concern from both sides of the aisle.
And the strikes are not sitting well with Colombian President Gustavo, who said one of the boats targeted last month was actually a fishing vessel that got lost.
Petro writing, U.S. government officials have committed murder and violated our sovereignty in territorial waters. The Colombian boat was adrift and had its distress signal up due to an engine failure.
Trump has pledged to end U.S. aid to the South American country.
The Louvre in Paris is closed today after a major jewelry heist. This is like something straight out of the movies. Several people disguised as construction workers broke into the world-famous museum early Sunday morning and stole centuries-old jewels. If you want to see the jewels they got away with, if you want to see them, text WATCH to the WTMJ Talk and Text line. That is WATCH to 855-616-1620. We have pictures of the jewels up right now. This lovely one, oh, this is beautiful. You've got a tiara, earrings. It's like it's the whole set. This is a sapphire tiara necklace and single earring apparently worn by two queens. Don't ask me about the single earring. I don't know. Some have speculated that the set may have once belonged to Marie Antoinette. Another amazing piece they took, a pearl and diamond tiara commissioned by Emperor Napoleon III to celebrate his marriage back in 1853. ABC's James Longman is in Paris with how this heist went down.
Police say the masked robbers drove up to the side of the museum in a truck mounted with a ladder described as a mobile freight elevator. Police say the lift was extended up to a second floor window, which the thieves broke open using an angle grinder, a handheld power tool used for metalwork. From there, they're alleged to have threatened security guards before ransacking the Apollo Gallery, where Napoleon III's crown jewels were on display. Police say they tried to set fire to the lift they used before they fled. The raid lasted all of 7 minutes before they escaped on scooters.
On scooters. They escaped on scooters. Jeez. Okay, so that's 2025 for you. But the thieves did not get away with everything they wanted. The crown of some empress was found outside the museum. The thieves apparently dropped it during their escape. Oh. And that piece is just stunning. We've got to look at that one, too, for you. It is made of gold, emeralds, and diamonds. Imagine being the guy to drop the crown. You go through all of that, all of the planning, I imagine. At least what we see in the movies, right? And then you drop the crown.
Did you have the crown? Who's got the crown? I thought you had the crown. No, I didn't have the crown. Didn't you get it?
Gosh.
No, I got the egg.
And then I'm like, did they drop the crown and think, I can't even waste a second to get it? Got to jump on the scooter and go? But it's the crown. There must not be fingerprints on it, right?
Was Brad Pitt or George Clooney involved in this? I mean, it's got like Ocean's 12 written all over it, doesn't
it? I'd watch that movie, yeah.
Absolutely. 12:14 here on WTMJ. Now at noon, sponsored by Flanners Home Entertainment. Check them out at flanners.com. Sound advice at the best price. Just press play. Coming up next, weekly check-in with Dale Coinga from the MMAC. A lot of interesting things happening in Milwaukee. We'll go through it with Dale after this. Our weekly economic spotlight, sponsored by Horicon Bank, the natural choice, doing banking differently in Wisconsin since 1896. Check out horiconbank.com. We welcome to the studio Dale Coinga, president of the MMAC. Happy Fall Monday, Dale.
Beautiful Monday.
It is a beautiful Monday. Hey, want to talk more about the AI data center planned for the state of Wisconsin. Amid controversy, Microsoft has pulled back on some of its investment, but still has a significant investment in the Southern Corridor here in the state. Talked about data centers in Port Washington, again, met with some controversy. And some of the controversy stems from the idea of having a freshwater resource near where these AI data centers are being built. Trying to figure out what the truth is, how much water they require, what's required in terms of cooling, how much environmental impact is there. It's a lot to digest because these things are massive.
Yeah, they are massive. Quick correction or clarification in your comments. Microsoft's not pulling back for investment. There was the announcement of the investment that they made a year ago, another one a year. Those are all on track. There was a smaller project in Caledonia that they decided not to move forward in Caledonia because Caledonia was not very welcoming to the economic development there. So that's going to be something that they deal with across other opportunities. But they are going to make that investment somewhere else in the region, very likely.
And it almost sounds like they could still do it in Caledonia if it was the right spot. I mean, they were very specific in their wording that this specific spot is not going to work because they listened to the people. I mean, they left a little opening there.
Yeah, I mean, well, the land in Caledonia is owned by the energy company, so it wasn't like they were taking out farms or anything like that. So I don't think they'd be in Caledonia. I think Caledonia's town board has to figure out what they want to do for that community because they just left over $100 million on the table. They're going to have to figure that out. And because now it's not only about data centers, there's going to be other economic development projects that say, well, why should we work with a town that's not welcome to investment? So, but specifically on the water issue, let's talk about the water issue because there's been just tremendous amount of fear and bad information on the water issues. So when you're talking about Microsoft, you're talking about only 4 Olympic-sized swimming pools of water a year. A golf course in Wisconsin will use more water than that in a given month in the summer than they'll use an entire year. And the reason for that is both that and the Port Washington systems, they're closed-loop systems. So the water stays in. They don't discharge a lot of water. So the number for the Port Washington project is 65 homes. So in the next couple hours, in an hour right now, Lake Michigan will evaporate more water than they'll use an entire year. And the other thing about water, which I find interesting, is there's one particular person out there on social media that keeps going back to this romantic notion of Wisconsin as a dairy farm state. And that's great. We want to support that. It is a big part of our economy. and we hope to have it to be part of a big part of our economy. But if you take the same amount of land with the same amount of employees and was a dairy farm, you would have exponentially more water issues. I mean, there's really not an industry that you could have that's going to have a smaller impact on water usage than a data center investment. So just want to be very clear that this is not a significant amount of water, and this is not discharging dirty water into streams or rivers or lakes, and it's not taking a significant amount of water out of the streams, waters, and lakes.
Is there a spot across the country that we know of with the greatest concentration of data centers in the country that you could compare what's happening there to what we would potentially experience?
Yeah, Virginia is a great example because Virginia has really been a concentration of data centers, and there's been no draining of the aquifers or draining of the rivers or lake. I mean, there's been zero impact on their water there, both from the usage and the discharge.
I'd be more concerned about the stress on the grid than, I guess, the water, right? I mean, these are massive data centers, right? And there's a significant amount of energy that goes into powering these things.
Yes, and so that's a different conversation because there is a significant amount of electricity that is pulled from these data centers. So the Microsoft alone, just that one, is talking about possibly using more energy than every single household in Wisconsin combined. Now you have to say, okay, who's paying for that? That's a great, great question. And each state is different in how you answer those questions. In Wisconsin, it's very important that people realize this, is that Microsoft and the soon-to-be-announced company in Port Washington, they are paying more than commercial companies and residential businesses. And the reason for that, it's called a tariff. It's a different tariff than we've talked about in the news or economically. It's a different type of... And a tariff is an additional amount paid that is agreed to by the Public Service Commission in Wisconsin that represents taxpayers and these companies. And so they'll pay a premium. Why are they paying a premium? Well, they're paying a premium because there's going to have to be investments in our grid, both in the production of electricity and the distribution of electricity. So those companies have agreed, saying, we know that's going to cost more. We're going to pay more for our electric usage than everyone else because the shouldering of those costs is going to be on those data centers, not everyone else. Another point on this, which gets technical, but it's important, is a lot of people think that when you're taking electricity, like that electricity has to be produced here in Wisconsin because it's in Wisconsin. There's an entire grid of electricity that goes from Louisiana all the way up to northern Canada. It's called the MISO network. And you could put into that network at any point additional capabilities and production for electricity, and any part of that network can use it. So Microsoft, for example, is doing more solar power in Iowa. That connects to this site through the network. And so there is a lot of electricity that needs to be used. There's new technology coming on the nuclear side, which is gaining popular approval. You know, we have natural gas now. Natural gas is a lot cleaner than coal than it was. And there's new technology that's even more cleaner than natural gas. So there's this evolution of cleaner technology. It's all going to the grid. And the bottom line is you or other businesses do not have to pay for this.
One of our fans from the 414 just wrote in and said, only four swimming pools, and why are the companies insisting to locate next to a Great Lake?
Well, that's a great question, is because the Great Lake also offers cooling, a natural cooling phenomenon, right? We know that here because you guys do the weather in the studio and say, hey, it's 10 degrees colder by the lake. So that 10 degrees colder by the lake offers a natural air conditioning. So Microsoft will be building the second largest chiller in the world. The largest is in Qatar, for obvious reasons, the desert. And they don't have to use that chiller as much when you're closer to the lake. So they're not by the lake because of the water in the lake. They're by the lake because the lake offers a natural air conditioning.
My wonder in time, Dale, and I'm not sure if it'll be in our lifetime, but my wonder in time is, will the size, the scope of these data centers be necessary to do what AI wants to do? Everything with technology gets smaller and more efficient over time. These are massive data centers. I do wonder 20, 30, 40 years from now, if a data center that can do what these are designed to do could be done with a room the size of our studio.
Well, there's Moore's Law. If people don't understand that, it's the compounding of chips getting smaller and smaller and more powerful. And there's always going to be that compounding of technology. Let's just take a step back though real quickly and talk about what are these quote data centers doing. These are not data centers in the classic word of just storing your pictures and books. These are the largest computers in the world. The Microsoft one in particular is going to be the largest computer in the world by a factor of 10. And what are these large computers doing? When you're talking about AI, this is going to be the type of computer that's going to, right now when you have, let's say, cancer, like, okay, here's your age, here's your weight, here's your prescription. new massive computer is going to say, what's your genealogy? What's your weight? What kind of water do you drink? How many vitamins? It's going to be massive computations. That's going to be very specific medicine for you. We're talking about self-driving cars where it knows where sirens are coming from and automatically push you over, knowing that there's a deer in the road. These are technologies where we're going that we can't even imagine that will be life-saving, which will make our life easier, more productive, so we can spend more time on other things in life. And so the possibilities here are almost endless, and it really plugs into our biotech economy and other possibilities for our manufacturing economy.
Real quickly here, open houses are now set for the Interstate 794, possible partial removal, other downtown freeway changes. Where does the MMAC stand on, or I'm sure you guys discuss it, as far as these changes for 794? And I know Greg is circling this date on his calendar for the town hall, because you've got a lot to say about it.
Well, there's a lot with 94 that's going to be happening over the next like 8 years. It's going to impact traffic that begins later this week.
Yeah, and for those of us that are driving every day from the west and the east and back, we realize that there's a natural bottleneck there that it's good that they're taking care of those, not only for time and efficiency and productivity, it's also for safety. So, 794 is in discussions. We really don't always dive into this much detail on infrastructure projects. We want the freeways still up and running, but the 794 is an interesting one. It's just because downtown is such a cultural hub, and the connections to Summerfest and our big employers like Northwestern Mutual and Baird down there. So we don't have a formal position on it yet. We're asking the mayor to keep his powder dry as well, because there's a lot of questions to be answered. But there are concerns about there is that the port needs access to the freeway. There's some manufacturers in Cudahy, South Milwaukee. Are we going to have just nothingness down there if you go down the street level? So there's four plans out there right now. One is replace as is. I don't think anybody's in favor of just doing the exact same thing again. There's another plan, which is total street level with no interstate access at all to the lake. There's a lot of businesses that are concerned about that. And then there's two other options that are hybrid options. So we're doing our own staffing. We're doing our own research. We're listening. I suspect the MMAC will have an opinion on which plan it should be come late winter or spring. But right now there's a feedback process, and we want to be part of the feedback process and listening ourselves before we jump out there with an opinion on what this should look like.
Yeah, it's certainly a hot button topic, no doubt. Dale Coyne, president of the MMAC, joining us here in the studio. Appreciate it, Dale. Thank you. 12:28, the Economic Spotlight, sponsored by Horicon Bank, the natural choice, doing banking differently in Wisconsin since 1896. Check out horiconbank.com. Greg and Jessica with you. It's Wisconsin's Midday News on WTMJ. While you were out in Kohler enjoying a nice fall weekend and a fantastic food and wine event, I was sitting on the couch with my family listening to the radio broadcast and watching TV.
Payoff pitch to Ohtani. And a drive to right. It is way back and gone. Shohei Ohtani hits his third home run of the postseason, and the unicorn showed up for game four.
Yeah, that happened in inning number one of game number four. Ohtani would hit two more home runs in that game, two of which have not yet landed. My wife said to me, "Is like that ball's going to land in our front yard in a couple of minutes."
Ah, oh, jeez. Yeah, I'll tell you what, throughout there were a couple people, one of the big nights on Friday, one of the events, there was someone you could go through wine tasting, and this guy was smart. He had his phone out, like a miniature TV, so you could come and check the score. And I was like, ooh, I want to check it. And he kind of looked at me, and I looked, and I said, okay, maybe I didn't want to check it.
Yeah, it just felt like every run the Dodgers scored felt like 10 runs to what the Brewers were able to do. So sadly, a magical season just comes to an end here, one step short of the World Series. We welcome in Jeff Levering, who had the call throughout the postseason here and throughout the season on WTMJ. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Greg. How are you, buddy? Thanks for reminding me that Ivan Drago doesn't bleed. So that's good. Appreciate that.
Well, I was talking to my wife about this. So she's not watched Shohei Ohtani play baseball before. And she's like, wait a minute, the guy who just hit that leadoff home run is also pitching? It's like, do pitchers always hit? I'm like, well, it's a little different with him. They can if a manager chooses to have them hit, but they just don't unless you're Shohei Ohtani. So the game ends, it finishes up, we're watching highlights again as we're about to go to bed, and I said, I think that was the single greatest performance on a baseball field I have ever seen. And I was trying not to be hyperbolic or caught in the moment. As someone who has seen so many performances by so many players over the years, was that too far-fetched?
It wasn't, especially in the moment, in a potential clinching situation to take your team to the World Series, to go six innings, not allow a run and strike out 10, plus hit three homers. I would say it is the greatest performance in baseball history for a single game. There have been a couple of other games that have been brought up. Jeff Passan from ESPN brought up a couple of games, one in particular, Milwaukee Brave former player Tony Kleininger, who threw a complete game shutout and also hit two grand slams in the same game, but it was a regular season game. It didn't have the same meaning as an NLCS game or a World Series game. So for me, it's Shohei Ohtani, and since I saw it with my own two eyes, I'll stick with that. And the fact is, Greg, is that if a league or a sport changes rules for you, that means you're doing something right. The Major League Baseball implemented the rule to allow the DH to stay in and pitch and then hit and vice versa because of Shohei Ohtani. They changed the rules because of this guy.
Jeff, how difficult was it to call that last game at the very end knowing this was the end? Because I'm somebody, you know, I'm always rooting for the home team and I never give up. I'm always in the stands until the last out. I'm there until, you know, at the basketball games. I don't leave until it's done. So I always have the faith. But, you know, at one point we knew and we had such high hopes as fans for this season. We were hoping that this would be our season, that we would go to the World Series and we would take it. So how difficult was it for you to call that last game in those last moments?
It was tough. You know, you never want to say goodbye for the last time during the regular season or in the postseason. You never like signing off and saying we'll see you in the spring. You have to. At the end of the day, the Brewers had the best record in the major leagues during the regular season. They had a phenomenal regular season. They got by the Cubs in the division series. For all intents and purposes, they had a fantastic season. And only one team gets to win the last game of the year, and that's the World Series champion. The Brewers came up short this year, and hopefully next year they can run it back and have a very similar cast of characters and continue to have great success like they've had, winning the division three straight years. But it's not easy saying goodbye. That's your baseball life. You spend 9 months of grinding with these players and coaches and the fans who are tuned into every single word that you say over the course of the year. And it's never easy to say goodbye to your baseball family for the summer and go into hibernation mode. And then, okay, spring training, here we go. Hi, remember me. It's tough saying goodbye. But we know there's going to be a tomorrow. The sun came up the next day and there's going to be another baseball season on the horizon.
But was this year different because we didn't have Uke this year and because, you know, we beat the Cubs and we were moving on and just everybody felt like this was going to be our year? I know it's hard every season to have it end and to say goodbye, but was it different this year?
It was different. It was different because I was the guy that had to say goodbye last year. I mean, I think last year was more depressing than this year because of the way that it ended, having the lead going into the ninth inning and then boom, it's over in the span of just a couple of seconds. I would say that was more crushing. Plus, as we've chronicled over the last year, how difficult it was for Uke to show up each and every day and go to work and having that be his last broadcast ever. For sure, I think 2024 was more crushing than the end of this year. But you're right that it felt different this year. It felt like the Brewers had finally got over the hump and they were going to have an opportunity to do something really, really special. And they did do something really special. It just wasn't special enough.
Yeah.
Dodgers also a very special team, by the way.
That's
true. Every time I watch them play, it's like, holy smokes,
wow.
How are they not a 100-win team? And the Brewers ran into an absolute freight train. So good luck to the Mariners or Blue Jays. You guys did a wonderful job, Jeff. If I can just tell you this, throughout the year, making sure fans remember that Uke was still in your hearts and sharing stories and keeping him a part of your broadcast. I don't know if that was a conscious decision or if it just, you know, part of doing baseball, and you talk about Brewers baseball, is involving Bob Uecker. It seemed all very natural and organic, but that was a common thread throughout your broadcasts this season.
Yeah, I think the right word was struck right there, was organic. I mean, we didn't force anything. We didn't want to make it all about Bob, because then it brings up sad memories, right? You and a lot of fans wish it was Bob, and hey, we get it. You know, he's the voice of summer for 54 seasons with the Brewers. Everybody missed him, and there were still points in the year where we thought he was going to walk through the door and say, hey, let's get rolling. But it just it wasn't going to happen. But for us to continue to talk about him, and it's not just a one-year deal. We'll continue to tell Euchre stories because they're outstanding, and everybody loves Bob. It's just part of our DNA. So I think it just was something that whether it was something during the game or something that happened before the game or after a ball game that made you think about him, and we wanted to tell stories. That's what we'll continue to do. He holds a special place in our hearts, and he always will.
Jeff, who took the biggest step forward this season? Something we can kind of hold on to and have hope for next year.
Greg Matzik did, I think, always. I think a lot of people did. I point to Caleb Durbin having a great season as a rookie. He was phenomenal. I mean, what Jacob Mizrowski did in the postseason after there was a great quote that kind of equated his season to the stock market where he just shot up, right? And everybody was buying Jacob Mizrowski stock and it was as high as ever. And then after he got hurt and was on the injured list, he kind of went down and really never found it. And then the playoffs hit and man, did he skyrocket again. So I think Caleb Durbin on the position player side really took another step forward. And Jacob Mizrowski on the mound did an amazing job. But how about Chad Patrick laying in the weeds and how good he was over the course of the season and helping out that starting rotation all year long. And then in the playoffs, only giving up two runs of Freddie Freeman homer and then the Ohtani homer that ended up in the Matzik yard. He actually saw Chad after the ball game last night and he goes, I didn't look at it, but what was your call on it? And I said, well, it was Lane's call first and foremost. And secondly, he lost it because he didn't know where it went after it got to its apex. True story. So, Chad Patrick is another guy that I think took a major step forward this year.
Well, the common theme in the names you mentioned, they're all back next year, which is a good sign here for the Brewers. And a lot of names are going to be back, and that's encouraging. It's a young team, a growing team, but a team that should be able to stay together by and large.
No doubt. They only have a couple of free agents. I would think that Rhys Hoskins has probably played his last game in a Brewers uniform. They have a decision to make on Jose Quintana. There's that option that's kind of looming out there for Freddie Peralta. I think they'd be crazy not to pick that up for $8 million as your ace and multiple time all-star. But there is a decision that has to be made there. But yeah, for a large part, I think the team is going to stay intact for 2026.
Always good stuff. Great to connect with our friend Jeff Levering, Brewers play-by-play. Here on some college football and basketball throughout the winter. He'll be busy, no doubt, but back in Arizona in the middle of February. Jeff, we appreciate it. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks, Jeff.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Yep, all the best to Jeff Levering here during the offseason. Now, here's what it sounded like, by the way.
3-1. And this is a fly ball to right. Hit well. Frelick back and just watching that one. I never even saw it come down. It's all the way out of the ballpark. That got all the way out of here. That went over the awnings in right and all the way out of the ballpark. 469 feet from Shohei Ohtani. It's 4-0 Dodgers.
Yeah, you could have told me that was 640 feet, and I would have believed it. That was the one where my wife said that ball's going to land in our front yard in a couple of minutes.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Yeah, I didn't, because of the events that we were at this weekend, I didn't have a chance to watch in the end, and usually that would be like heartbreaking for me, and I still was holding out hope, but I just, the Dodgers were just so darn good.
Yeah, a lot of steam went out of the Brewers' train after that 2-1 loss in game one of that series. Yeah. They could never really recover, and Dodgers are a very, very good team, so nobody would be shocked to see them win a second consecutive World Series. 12:52. Hey, coming up a little later in the program here in the 1 o'clock hour, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I do a lot of grocery shopping in our household. My wife and I kind of split it. We just sort of tag team it as best we can. I have noticed protein is appearing in everything. Everything. Like, why now do my Cheerios have to say with protein? Like, protein bars, all that stuff, good to go. But, like, protein is front and center. You can't walk down an aisle without seeing something claiming to have added protein in it.
Without a doubt. Starbucks has a whole new lineup, too. In fact, my mom and I were driving back. I said, let's stop. Let's get a little coffee. And I saw it. I knew it was coming out. They made the announcement, I feel like, months back. But all of a sudden, there it is in the lineup. Protein lattes now.
Yeah, how could that $6 coffee become more expensive? Add protein. It's $10. Now an $8 coffee or whatever it is. So trying to figure out that it's just a fad or if consuming protein in ways not often associated with protein consumption is a good way to go, right? You think about, you know, chicken, fish, meat, stuff like that. Well, now it's popping up in Wheaties and Cheerios. We'll dive to the bottom of that with a nutritionist coming up in the 1 o'clock hour.